Acts chapter 4, and we come to an action chapter, and we're going to read it right through. So I hope you will follow along as we read chapter 4 in the book of Acts. Let's hear the Lord's word. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power, or by what name, have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and said, "Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, 'Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and led them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher calling all Canadians back to the Bible. And today the Bible passage we've chosen is Acts chapter 4. I hope that you have listened to the reading of God's Word. And I have to be earnest in this matter of calling people back to the Bible by taking time to read the Bible on air. Sometimes we're a little reluctant to do that in case somebody gets turned off. But our desire is to let the Bible speak and let that word dwell richly in each and every hearer's heart. Join with us day by day on the station as we bring the message of the gospel to you and as we seek to emphasize the importance of the Bible. Canada needs the Bible because Canada needs Christ. And of course, we also need prayer. And that's the theme of our message today, Acts chapter 4, the prayers of the early church. They were mighty. And I wish that I could say that every church prayer meeting imitates this in the 21st century. Sadly, we are lacking in the power of prayer. And it is true that until we learn to pray, we will never preach. Preaching depends so much on the power of prayer. So stay tuned as we come to the message from the pulpit of our church, right here on Let the Bible Speak.
Word in each verse here, verse 28, you'll notice that they talk about the providence and the providence and the sovereign workings of God, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. In other words, the Lord is God, he's in control. And all of these events fulfilled, the scriptures were fulfilled. Christ has come, and now we meet this threat. Lord, you're on the throne, you're in control. And we're bringing this challenge to you. We're crying out for power in this need. Now, I also notice in verse 29 that it was evangelistic praying. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Now, they had just been threatened not to speak. They had just been told by men never again to teach in Jesus' name. But they were of a different mind. And they were coming to the Lord for an amazing spiritual endowment of power that they may withstand the threats. And with a new, fresh power, preach the word of God with great boldness. So you'll notice that there was no compromise. There was no plan B attitude. They didn't say, well, if we can't preach, maybe we can put out a leaflet. I almost shoot myself in the foot here after putting out a leaflet this week. If you're not going to preach, you can put it on paper and hand it out. That's another way you can do it. That's not what they were praying for. That's not what they were asking for. And it was prayer for the preaching, that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Now, it's not just devotion, it's evangelism. It's to reach men with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now, in verse 30, you will see that they were praying for further miracles, just like this man who had been healed, and what a great witness he was. And they said, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And in the first century, miracles continued. In the first century, it was proper to pray in this way. Lord, we need to see more people marvelously changed by your power, that others may take note how by the name of Jesus they were healed and they were helped. And so they prayed on that basis. It was to be another miracle. And when you get down to verse 32, you will see that they were praying for souls. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Now, I'm jumping on a little bit to see the fruit, the outcome of their prayer. But it gives us a certain hint that that's how they were praying, evangelistically. Have you ever been in a prayer meeting that you would call the most evangelistic meeting of your life? Where it is Christians crying out for souls. Christians crying out for sinners to be convicted of sin, of brought to an end of their own arguments, and surrender at the foot of the cross. And sometimes in our prayer meetings, we pray for sinners by name. And I'm not going to make any apology if you find out that your name was mentioned at a church prayer meeting. You should be thankful that we love you for your soul's sake. You should be thankful that there's people here tonight that are praying for you. They're bringing your name to the throne of grace and calling out, Lord, have mercy. Open the eyes of that sinner and bring that soul to the cross. That's evangelistic praying. And it gets us beyond just the sick list and the political issues and all the other things that, yes, these are burdens we can pray about at times. But the church here in the early church was praying evangelistically. Just like Paul, when he was preaching for 3 years at Ephesus, he ceased not to preach and pray day and night with tears, with tears. That's what we need. Prayer meetings with tears. Burdened souls pleading for other souls to be saved and brought into the life of the Lord's church. And so it all starts with prayer. How can you and I do that? Let me bring it down to the practical. Maybe you have on your phone tonight a little app called Notes. Most people have that one version or another. Would you start a prayer list on your phone? That's the old way. You would start with a post-it note, but you might lose the post-it note. You might stick it on your fridge and see it once in a while, but if it's on your phone, you'll have it when you need it. Start a prayer list and put down, I don't know, a number of names that need Christ, that need the Lord. And start a prayer ministry in your own life for those individuals that need to be saved. And then come along to the church and ask for those names to be prayed for corporately, jointly, with one accord, by the whole prayer band of the church. That's putting into practice what we see here in Acts 4, as these Christians were threatened and the life of the gospel was under attack. Now, thankfully, in the remainder of this chapter, you have the immediate answer to prayer. Immediately. We're told in verse 31 that the prayer room shook. Now, some people might say that was a bit embellished. It's not literal. Well, I don't think you can take it any other possible way than being literal. The foundations of the building shook. There was a movement in the building, and there probably was some mighty sound that made it evident that God heard the prayer. And it's recorded here in Acts 4 for us by Dr. Luke. He's the writer of the book of Acts. And this is recorded that we would understand that God immediately heard that very prayer. Then you'll notice also in verse 31 that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Every single believer, not just the apostles, not just the spiritual leaders, but everyone. What a prayer meeting. What an experience that must have been for every single person in that prayer time to have experience of the Spirit of God throbbing, speaking, powerfully ministering to the depth of their souls. Oh, they were shaken not only physically, but in their own hearts. And I noticed too that it was a separate new infilling. We know at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. But here again, it happens another time. And we read in other prayer meetings in the book of Acts that the Holy Spirit came and filled again. And this is really what happens. The Christian needs to be filled with the Spirit repeatedly. The help of the Spirit in the old year we have just seen through will not do for 2020. We need a fresh anointing of the Spirit now for the challenges we face today that we might serve the Lord. Now, the Word of God also, in verse 31 at the end, we're told that it was spoken with boldness. And that was the specific point of their praying. And this was the direct result of the infilling of the Spirit. Now, don't miss this. I want you to read the second half of verse 31. And I know there's a comma in there. And there's the word and, it's a conjunction word. But you will see that the infilling of the Holy Spirit was causal. It caused the speaking of the Word of God with boldness. There's a direct relationship between their personal infilling and the manner by which they spoke the gospel. Now, we need to see that. And we need to grasp that this was not men that went for new training and got new ways to preach and came up with man's ideas and man's methods. No, this is men with a power that comes directly from the Holy Spirit. And it revolutionized their preaching. And it is summed up with the word boldness. They were not intimidated by the threats. They didn't back down. The fear of man was overcome. And they were able to preach very, very effectively. Can we ever get this into our hearts? That the church that does not pray can't know power. The church that does not seek the infilling of the Holy Spirit upon each believer will be a very weak church. Can we not grasp that there is something here that God can do in a day that man can't do in a lifetime? And it's when the Holy Spirit is given and the Word of God is spoken with great boldness. And the power is the Lord's. These were not new men, different men, but they were men who were renewed with the same message, but with great power to preach it. And then you'll see also the outworking of that, that there was an outpouring of generosity and provision in the early church. Verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. Money in churches is delicate. All my life I have found it a very delicate thing to talk about money in the church. Whether it's in the boardroom or in the pulpit, money is a very touchy subject. And sometimes the more you plead, the more reluctant people are to give. Some churches and preachers always like to set goals and say, well, we brought in so much that month, we can raise it now on 1,000 or 2,000 and reach a new goal. And it seems that every week, every month, there's challenges and goal setting and a whole lot of ideas about how to raise funds for the church. I don't see any of that here. When God's people were in blessing, when the Holy Spirit filled their hearts, they saw the need and they met the need generously. What a model that is for every one of us. And the fruit of that prayer time was long-lasting, and it met even more than the needs of the threats to be silent. Now, I think this is probably the most encouraging chapter in all the book of Acts. And there are some other very encouraging things. But when you grasp what happened immediately, powerfully, in this prayer meeting of this early church, you can see that these men were victorious through prayer. And the Lord got all the glory. And it certainly must encourage us. And it must motivate us to be a praying people. Now, I know that guilt-tripping people to prayer is not going to work. And it won't help anybody. But I think every one of us needs to take what the Scriptures teach, because we're always serious about the Bible. If I was in any way to minimize some passage of the Bible that says, well, I don't want to touch that, I don't want to emphasize that, I don't want to rock the boat on that, you would call me a very weak preacher and perhaps a poor leader and pastor. And so when it comes to this subject of prayer, all that I can do is, would you please take note what God can do? And the model we have of Christians who so prayed. Can we adopt this model as a church and be known as a praying people? I think we would be better to stop having prayer meetings than to not adopt the model that you find in the Bible. If we have prayer meetings that are just consoling and merely to placate the fears that we sometimes have and make us simply feel good, I think we are missing the mark. And we'd probably be better not to have prayer meetings. But is there anybody here tonight that would not be disheartened if it was announced that the session of this church decided we're not going to have any more prayer meetings? I think you would say the writing's on the wall for that church. You would bring that conclusion. And rightly so. And so, we need to take this seriously. And we need to prove God. We've got a lot of praying to do. There are a lot of things that work against the church today. Getting people in under the sound of the gospel is a huge challenge. But God can do it. God can do it. And He can use His word. We don't have to change the message. But we need to pray. And we need to be spirit-filled people that God, in grace, will be pleased to work through us. May the Lord use His word tonight in every one of our hearts. And would you pray for me, please? I beseech you again that you would pray for me, that I will have the Lord's power to preach His word. I don't want to end my ministry powerless. I want the Lord to take this clay vessel and make me His means of blessing to many souls. Would you please pray for that every day and in the prayer meetings of our church?
Well, now I ask you to join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this model of prayer in Acts 4. O God, teach us how to pray. Give us the Holy Spirit and make us men and women of prayer in these days. As we call all Canadians back to the Bible, O Lord, we pray for the power of God to be at work in this land, to convict men of sin and to reveal Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him. Lord, I ask that Thou will bring Thy fear upon sinful men and women. I pray for those that are resting on their lees and thinking that all is well with their souls. Grant, Lord, that they will be brought to the place of contrition, to confess their sins unto the Lord. And we thank Thee that Thou art merciful to all who confess. We plead today for each one who has heard the gospel and recognizes their need. Wilt Thou save them even now, Lord? For Jesus' sake, amen. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.